Manna, if you tried to store it up and save it and eat it later, it was going to make you sick, right? The manna that you got was for today. Consume it today. Take what we have now and use it now. Oh, one day maybe. Oh, there in the future No. Use what you have now. Go, move, think, love on others. Do love on you.
Welcome to another episode of the Blemished Beauty Podcast. This podcast was designed with you in mind. If you're ready to erase the norm and embrace the truth, come pull up a chair, grab a journal, and tell a friend that your favorite Jersey girl is back with another episode. So let's get into it.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to another episode of the Blemished Beauty Podcast with your favorite Jersey girl, Shira Renee. And in today's episode, I have the pleasure of sitting down with Dr. Rachel Elahi. And she is a woman of many hats. She is a psychologist. She's a coach. She's an author. She does all the things. And I'm going to let her tell you a little bit about herself after her interlude. And today we're going to sit down and have a conversation about what choosing you actually looks like. You know, we're in season five, and season five is all about transformation. It's important to show up in spaces happier, healed, and whole. And in order to do that, you have to choose yourself. So after the interlude, I'm going to sit down with Dr. Rachel, and we're going to get into this empowered conversation. Hey, Dr. Rachel.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am excellent.
So first, tell the people who you are and some of the things that you do, because you do have many hats.
I wear a lot of hats, but I'm a simple girl. Who am I? I am a woman, a child of God. I'm a friend. I'm a daughter. I'm a sister. I'm all of those things. I'm a mother. And a four, let me say that, a mother of four. That's a lot going on. But I also wear the hat, as you said before, of a psychologist, of an executive coach, of an author, and a healer. So I just have this nice little mix going on that usually works for me.
So how do you balance it all? I mean, I have a whole five-year-old, and I'm just like, I'm surprised I don't have gray hairs. And you have four. I have my oldest is 15, but you have four. So how do you do that on top of being, well, tell people first, what is an executive coach? Because we hear a lot of life coaching, but what exactly does an executive coach do?
I also do life coaching, but primarily I'm an executive coach, which means that I help people who are in executive corporate positions and management positions better leverage their strengths so that they can become more productive. And sometimes it's not just in the workplace. Sometimes it's also their ability to leverage their personal life. Because here's the thing, there's not two or three of us running around, right? There's just one. We don't have a work self and a personal self, though the world tries to, our society will try to have us separate. We're just one. So when I'm working with coaches and with clients, and also when I'm working on the psychology side of things, we're talking about the integration. We're talking about bringing your whole self to a healthier place in the workplace or how you show up in your life.
I love that, because a lot of the times, like you said, that work-life balance, it's a fine line. And a lot of us, we bring work home, and a lot of us bring home to work. Mm-hmm. So you are very needed to really help people kind of find the balance, because you do have to turn one off when you're in the other, right? So absolutely, it's very important that you do that. So how do you balance it all, doing all these things and then being a mom and maintaining who you are as a child of God, because we're in the world, but we're not of the world. So how do you balance it?
That's a great question. I think of the analogy of riding a bike. People, you know, there's always this debate of, can you have it all? Yes or no? And some people say yes, and some people say no. And I absolutely say you can. And so when I think about riding a bike, think about how you have, you know, you're on the bike, right? And you have to take your feet off the ground and put them on a pedal and you start pedaling. If you think you're holding the handlebars straight, right? But you're really not. You're really making these micro movements, or however you're holding them. This goes for the steering wheel too. Same for driving. You can have a straight road ahead, but if you hold that steering wheel straight and it does not budge, your car is veering off to the left or right. So you're always, whether you're on a bicycle or whether you're driving in a car, you're always making these micro adjustments. So how do I stay balanced? How do I keep it all? Not perfectly, but I'm always making micro adjustments. So when I'm at work, I'm at work. If an emergency happens at home, or if my child calls me from school crying, well, work now takes a pause. I can't do work and my child. I can't see a client simultaneously while, you know, I'm dealing with whatever is going on at school. No. I press pause on one. I press pause on several things so that I can handle what's in front of me at one time. So that's how I do it. And then I'm very clear on what my priorities are. And I think about what I want and what I need. I can't be everything to everybody. The world would have you do that. And really, they are being selfish. We're all selfish, right? Selfish in that we want what we want. I want what I want. And I want the rest of the world to give it to me, to appease me. Right. That's my fantasy. But really, people are just, you know, you're trying to get your needs met and I'm trying to get my needs met and my neighbor's trying to get her needs met, and we don't mean any harm, right? So if I ask you, hey, can you do this for me? And hey, can you do that for me? I'm just trying to get my needs met. And I'm hoping that you'll do it if it's no inconvenience to you. Mm-hmm. It's up to us to say, that's a boundary line. I can't do it. It has a lot of meanings, right? Could I physically do it? Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm. Emotionally, mentally, physically, energy-wise, do I want to do it?
Right.
If my answer is no, then my answer is no. And so those are some of the ways that we set boundaries, and we don't try to give everything to everybody at the same time. And we, if we're being healthy about it, we are just taking care of what makes sense for us. Right. I know that my neighbor wants me to do this, and I know that my sibling wants me to do that. What's most important for me first? What's most important for my family? What's most important for my other obligations? Right. Because I don't want to say yes to somebody else going into it grudgingly, or, you know, with this irritated spirit. Well, that doesn't feel good to the person who asked me. And most importantly, it doesn't feel good to me.
Yeah, that's what pouring from an empty cup looks like in real time. You know, everybody says you can't pour from an empty cup. You can't pour from an empty cup. And that, for my visual people, because I'm a visual learner, that's what that means in real time. You know, just showing up in a space when you know that's not beneficial for you right now, but you're trying to people please and you're trying to make everybody, you know, feel okay while you're not okay. And it's all about letting people that are around you receive the overflow of what you're doing for yourself. So yes. I really want people to grasp what you said, because that is very, very important. And you will cause yourself to burn out and just be losing sleep. And these people sleeping good at night, and you sitting here tossing and turning because you done gave them what was supposed to be in your cup, and they only supposed to receive the overflow. So absolutely. I really want people to grasp what you said, because now we're in 2025 and it's time to know better so we can do better and we can show up better. And we don't know how much time we have left here on earth, right? So we have to make the rest of the time the best time that we have left.
We don't need to do it again. We don't.
Yes, today, I just said that.
It doesn't come back.
I just said that to my sister. Yes, you will never see this day again. So you have to be intentional about how you spend it, how you show up, where you want to go, what you want to do, and just smile and enjoy, because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And the Bible talks about that. It talks about not giving a care to tomorrow, because tomorrow has its own problems. And it's so true, but we so focused on 10 years from now and this. Yeah. You don't even know if you
remember manna from heaven. Manna, if you tried to store it up and save it and eat it later, it was going to make you sick, right? The manna that you got was for today. Consume it today. Take what we have now and use it now. Oh, one day, maybe. Oh, there in the future, I'll No. Use what you have now. Go, move, think, love on others. Do love on you. Do it all now, today, without being frantic or overwhelmed, just taking a deep breath and being able to say, Lord, what do you have for me today? And being able to ask, what do I want to do today? And let's let those line up together and let's go. Lord, what am I wearing today? Lord, should I do red lipstick or fuchsia? Or how about that gloss? Like, just how are we feeling today? And just move without, listen, our job is to put ourselves first. It's our job to do that. When we do that, then we can better move through. We can better do the things that God put us on this earth to do. We're not, and we have this, there's this subconscious desire. If we're really honest with ourselves, if we're not feeling it right now, at some point in our lives, we felt like, if the people who say they love me really love me, they would understand me. And if they really understood me and they really knew me, they would understand what I need. They would give me what I want. They wouldn't be stressing. They wouldn't be doing all these other, if they really, really loved me, they'd understand. They'd get me. The funny thing about that is that it's everybody's job, as I said before, to take care of our individual selves. And sometimes we're not really clear on what we need ourselves, but we're expecting somebody else to know. No, it doesn't work that way.
People are not mind readers. And you, again, that is what you teach people how to treat you. That's what that looks like in real time. You know, people say that, but that's what that is. Teaching people how to treat you is simply communicating how you want to be handled, communicating what you need in this moment, and not assuming that they know, because some people are so focused on what they got going on. It's not to say that they don't care about you or they don't love you. They don't know how to show up in that capacity. So you need to tell them so they can show up in that space. So that's what that looks like.
We'll give mixed signals. If we're honest, too often we give other people mixed signals. You know, I don't need help. I'm okay. I got it. And then you over there mumbling, ain't nobody offered to help me. You know, they should be able to look at me and tell I'm stressed. I mean, I thought you were stressed, but you said you had it. And the last time I tried to help you, you almost bit my head off.
Yeah.
Mixed signal. What do I do? So we get to be clear. Choosing ourselves means continuing to take care of ourselves, continuing to reassess. We are dynamic. I'm not the same yesterday as I am today, as I will be tomorrow. We have a lot of different things going on. Moods change, health changes, appetite changes, the weather changes. There's so many factors that impact who we are. We are not static beings. And so we get to check in. And this is one of the things I actually advise people to do. It's to check in with yourself on a regular basis. You're laying there and in the bed or relaxing, and you just ask yourself, self, how you doing? What do you need? Because how often are we racing off to the next thing? All right, I got up, I gotta run to the gym. Oh, wait, I gotta shower, I gotta get to work, I gotta go to the grocery store, I gotta return this call, I gotta.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I gotta read the Bible, I gotta go to church, okay, let me pray real quick. How often are we settling and just asking, what do I need?
Mm-hmm.
What do I want? How do I feel? And what's making me feel that way? I'll be honest, I was annoyed yesterday. It was a big annoyance. It was a small one. And I had to, okay, Rachel, what's really going on? And I get why that annoyed me, but okay, I do therapy with myself. What's really going on, sis? And if I decide I don't want to talk about it right now, okay, what you want to do? I want to read. Okay. All right, go ahead and read. And then what are we going to do? We're going to talk about it. No, I'm going to take a nap. All right, got it. I'm here. This is me talking to me. I'm here when you get up from your nap, when you finish reading your book. You want to talk now? I want to go get something to eat. All right, but look now, what you going to do? I got to be able to process with myself. I get to check in with me so that I can continue to show up to be the best me. And I give myself room to be human. I give myself room to feel what I feel. I give myself room to pull the covers up over my head and say, not today. I don't want to play today. I give myself room to say, you know, to be tender and have grace with myself that, you know, I've been gone all day and to work. And when I came home, my kids are still on break. My son, my youngest, he wanted to, a bona fide mama's boy, bona fide. He wanted to hang out with me and cuddle with me. And okay, what am I going to do? I can be more annoyed with this boy up under me. Or I can say, hey, baby, give me a few minutes. Mommy just had a crazy day today. And so let me holler at you in a bit, okay? All right. So now he's not trying to think, what's going on with her? And why is she annoying and irritated? And is it me? He's not blaming himself. I'm not adding to my irritability by stuffing my emotions, by pretending that I'm fine and let me be perfect mom. Mm-mm. And when he asked, what's for dinner? I said, I don't know. You've been home all day. I've been at work. You ain't cooked nothing. So putting these additional responsibilities on myself that I gotta show up for everybody in the house and I can't pretend like nothing's wrong with me. And oh, by the way, I gotta have dinner and ready. And I gotta, no. I had to be honest with who I was. And that's what choosing you is about. Does it mean I don't have maternal responsibilities? Absolutely not. I have them. But I also have to be honest in an age-appropriate way.
Yeah.
So like, and guess what? I'm teaching my children. When I say that, I'm teaching them, oh, wait, I get to acknowledge how I feel. And I get to show up in a way that's honest for me in this moment. I know that because my mother said, hey, I'm not in a good mood right now. I'm not in the best space right now. And so give me some time and I'll check in with you later.
Mm-hmm.
These are some of the ways we choose ourselves.
And that is what emotional intelligence looks like in real time. Because we hear that a lot and everybody's like, oh, emotional intelligence, what does that look like? Emotional intelligence is just basically knowing where you are emotionally and communicating that in a productive way so everybody can understand. And I love that you use that for your kids as well, because we grew up in a time where kids are supposed to be seen and not heard. And now we are these voiceless adults that don't know how to communicate our feelings. And we get into these relationships and we have all these traumas, and it's because we were supposed to be seen and not heard. So I definitely do the same thing with my children. I allow them to express themselves in a healthy way and let them know that it is okay to express themselves, you know, because it's important. You do have a voice in this world. It is very necessary for you to show up and speak for yourself because you are your own advocate. So I'm not in your body. I don't know how you feel, but you can communicate to me and tell me how you feel so no one assumes anything. And I love that you said that, because that is key. Now as an adult, it's like, okay, we didn't talk about therapy when we were growing up, none of that. Now that we have these outlets and these resources, it's time to take advantage, because you don't want to be in your 50s and 60s and you're miserable because you didn't have those outlets to help you kind of compartmentalize all the things that are going on with you.
Yeah. And let me say this about therapy. I'm glad you brought that up because we still, it's still, I mean, obviously we know this, it can be seen in some spaces as a shameful thing. Mm-hmm. And I tell people that, you know, if we can go see the physician for annual checkups, if we can go see our physician when something hurts, then surely we can go see a therapist for a check-in. Doesn't mm-hmm. mean that you are, just like going to see a therapist doesn't mean you're crazy. Going to see your physician don't mean you're dying. Mm-hmm. And we have to recognize what God has put in place. If he can, you know, so I ain't going to sit there. I take my problems to the Lord. Okay. Do you say that about your cardiologist? Okay. We know that the Lord is a doctor in the sick room. So are we not go see the cardiologist? Are we not going to go see the eye doctor or the foot doctor? We run into the urgent care. We making mm-hmm. appointments. We going to see the dentist. Then why not see someone who the Lord has ordained to be able to help you? I call therapy sometimes is like dumping the junk drawer in the kitchen, like dumping out. Let's see what we got here. You know, let's mm-hmm. let's sort this out. You know, let's see what we need to get rid of and what we need to keep. And let's see how this is serving us. I always tell my clients that that you're the expert on you. And I'm the expert on mental health. So let's collaborate to see mm-hmm. how we can get you in a better space. Let's see how we can help you take better care of you. Let's see, you know, let's just look and see what's here, right? So therapy is, and you're not signing your life away for the next 2 years or 5 years. I've had clients come to me for 3 or 4 sessions. I've had clients come to me, for 6 months, and then I might not see them for 2 years, and then they call me up again. It can be very episodic. It can be, you know, I call therapy. Most of my clients, first of all, none of my clients are crazy, but many of my clients are going through what I call a phase of life problem. And who mm-hmm. doesn't have those? Right. So they're going through something with their kid. They're going through something at work. They're going through something with their sibling. They're going through something with themselves. And they just want another healthy perspective to take a look at it. And then even more rare, but still very, very much part of my caseload are people who say, you know what? I'm just coming for personal growth. I'm doing all right. Nothing is wrong. I just want to check in. I just want to have a therapy session and, you know, let's see how I can grow even more.
Yeah. And it's like, I always say Jesus and therapy go hand in hand because everybody says, you know, like you said, I'm taking my problems to the Lord, but the Lord also gives you wisdom and he also gives you earthly tools. You know, he is the resource, but he gives you other sources to allow you to use them in order for you to get to a better place. So therapy, life coaching, all of these things are here as vital sources for you, or I should say he's the source and they're the resources. Mm-hmm. They are vital mm-hmm. resources for you to utilize so you can be in a better space. So then when you do talk to him, you are in a clear mindset. So yes. I like that you said that because therapy can be taken as needed, like pills. And if you really do the work, you'll realize that therapy is the most important because a lot of the reasons why we go to these doctors is because of the things that we have internalized in our bodies. And when you go to a therapist or a life coach or somebody where you can talk to them about these things, mm-hmm. you'll feel better. You'll show up, you know, in different places. So yeah. People really need to.
No, go ahead. I get excited.
No, I was going to say a lot of people don't understand that because we have painted therapy as, oh, like you said, you're crazy if you go to therapy, or therapy is for the other people, or therapy is no, therapy is vital. It is a person that you can trust to give you level-headed advice instead of talking to your cousin Ray Ray. And Ray Ray have you ended up in the next four, you know, on the first 48 because you don't listen to him and he's miserable and misery loves company. Yeah, so yeah. He's going to give you some advice that you're going to listen to as opposed to you talking to somebody who is trained to give you advice that'll help you or coach you through this period that you're in.
And everything you said is absolutely accurate. And I've heard people say, well, talking to a therapist, how can that help me? Because they can't fix my problems. No, we can't. And they'll sometimes they say, well, you know, talking to a therapist that, you know, why I'm just going to tell my business to a stranger. Right. But it's that's not what it is. We can't change the past, but really being able, there are a few things that we can do. We can help you to examine a situation a little bit differently to give you an outside perspective. We can also teach you skills that may be helpful to you. There's so many people. Definitely more, probably 75% of my caseload. Of my clients are probably dealing with some kind of sleep issue, if not higher than 75%. So if I can give you tools to help you sleep better, then wouldn't it be worth it? Mm-hmm. I talk about being a healer. I am absolutely a vessel. God has given me the ability to heal. And I heal in different ways. I'm a certified clinical hypnotherapist. So I use hypnosis to help people heal and work through some of the issues that they're dealing with. There's some energy work in there which is very much like, I won't get on this whole Western medicine thing. I absolutely go to MDs and believe in all that. But guess what? Before Western medicine started, there was effective Eastern medicine and other types of medicine. And so one of the things that we've learned from Eastern medicine or healing from other cultures is that everything is energy. And so there's an energetic, you know, our illnesses, there's an energy around that. So for example, when you get upset and you say, forget it, and you just swallow it, you just suck it up, right? Like, and you just forget about it. That goes somewhere. Mm-hmm. So when you're dealing with high blood pressure, or you're dealing with a pain in your back, or you're dealing with all these different things, right? That often is energy. That's often issues that you didn't process.
Yeah.
That you just really kind of swallowed. You just kind of sucked it up and you went on. Except our brains are very much like a computer. See, me looking at you right now and you looking at me and everyone watching this podcast, there what you're paying attention to right now is very much like the display, the monitor of a computer. But if you've ever had pop-ups on your computer, right? Mm-hmm. Programs that are running in the background, then that's very much like our subconscious. It's got all these tabs open. So while you are just listening to me saying, man, Dr. Rachel has nailed that thing. Listen, and I love this Blemish Beauty podcast. Oh my goodness, who are all the people I can send it to? While you're thinking about that, your subconscious is on something else. It's got all these other tabs open, right? And you know how sometimes you'll have something pop up, like it starts to do a cleaning. It starts to, you know, you can't do anything else on your computer until this program downloads or this virus cleaning. Oh, wait, I'm trying to. Mm-hmm. So sometimes those open tabs, one of them will pop up and take over everything. And so you're like, wait, where does panic attack come from? Or why did I just start crying out of nowhere? Why did my mood shift? No, it wasn't what you were just thinking about. You were thinking about your grocery list, but those open tabs in your subconscious were like, hey, I need some attention over here. Hey. So everything is energy, and if we don't address it when it comes up, we're going to address it later.
Right.
You don't get to avoid it, right? It's going to come up or come out in some sort of way. And I like to think that, you know, as a vessel, that I'm able to help facilitate that process for people. And it's really an honor for me. It's really humbling to know that I can sit down with someone that I do not know and that they will trust me with things that they don't even want to think about, and that we can sit there and process it and talk about it and heal it. And that's such an honor to me. That's such an honor.
I love that. I actually did an episode about that, Close the Tabs. And that's so funny that you said that, because that's the exact same metaphor that I was using, the computer and having all these tabs open. And
you got brilliance here.
So that's definitely confirmation. But I love that you said that, because we do. And it's just like when you're laying down, I know, especially when it gets quiet, that's when them tabs is just running, because you have so much time now. Idle time is the devil's playground. That's what they say, right? Mm-hmm. So that's when that just runs free. And when you are in a healthier space mentally, you decrease a lot of that. And that is definitely vital. That helps you rest, because sleep and rest are totally two different things. Mm-hmm. You could be sleeping and not resting. And that's a key indicator of knowing when you need to talk to someone, because you're supposed to be resting, not just sleeping. If you slept 8 hours and you still wake up tired, that means you did not get any rest. Mm-hmm. That means your brain is on overload and all that. So you definitely need to take advantage and utilize people like you and life coaches and therapists, because we need that now more than ever. We need people that we can talk to and just confide in and present those safe spaces, because the places that we go are not safe. So you should at least have one or two places that you can feel safe in. And who better to do that than with a therapist, right?
Absolutely. Someone trained and I have a therapist. That. Like, you know, all of my therapist friends have therapists that we see from time to time, because it's just good. It's good caretaking for your own spirit and soul. Mm-hmm. And if I may, you know, some of the simple things that I advise people to do that they find helpful is that if you, now again, this isn't the cure-all, but this can be helpful. a lot of people find this helpful. If you are struggling with something, you lay down and go to sleep and your brain just won't turn off, get up and I advise people to keep a notepad by their bed. And just write down everything. It could be a journal. It could just be a notebook. It doesn't matter what it is. It's a brain dump. Some people say, I've had a client say, you know, doc, I couldn't get with journaling. It's something about the word journaling. I'm just not a journaler. But when you say a brain dump, and it's the same thing, and she knew it.
Right.
I wrap my brain around brain dumping. And so she'd get a pen and her notebook, and she would brain dump. And it's kind of like letting your brain, your brain's like juggling stuff. And don't forget this. And what about that? Don't forget this. And oh, remember this, right? Our brain's just juggling this stuff. And you're like, stop. Oftentimes to write it down is a way of letting your brain know, we got this. Go ahead and settle down, because we've parked it over here in this notebook. So we're not going to forget it. And your brain's like, you sure you got it? I got it. Let's talk about it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You lay back down and something else pop up. Yep. Write it down and then close it. Let it go. Tell yourself that we're going to talk about these things tomorrow. Put it on the shelf. Put it, you know, put it to the side of you and breathe. You know, something else I say is, I told a client that this morning. To talk to yourself that when you are in your head and you're in your feelings and just those thoughts that just come rapid fire, you know, that this particular person was out of work and he has some physical issues, and the depression then of and some of those depressive thoughts of, man, you ain't nothing. And man, you know, a real man would be doing this. And how, why aren't you this? And I have to let them know, depression can be as debilitating as any physical condition, probably even more so. And so when you have all these little thoughts, another way of addressing them is to talk out loud to yourself. Because that voice, and remember, a lot of things are energy and frequency too. that voice carries more energy than and can be more powerful than those little voices that are and another thing and nothing. And you just speak out loud, whether you're quoting scripture, whether you're quoting a favorite quote by anybody, right? Whether you're just making an affirmation, speaking to yourself and saying, you know what? I am okay. I am healthy. I had a client yesterday who said, we were doing some energy work, and she said, or she wanted me to do some, and she said, can you address the anxiety and trauma I have around work? Can you address, now nothing traumatic has happened at work, but mm-hmm. it was just, and I told her, you're making yourself sicker by the day, because you keep telling yourself that work makes you anxious and makes and is trauma filled. Mm-hmm. And when you keep telling yourself that, mm-hmm. your subconscious is like, yeah, mm-hmm. it is. And she said, well, what do I say to myself? You got to say something that your subconscious can get behind, right? But that makes a little bit more sense and is more healthy. So you might say, instead of saying, I have a lot of trauma and anxiety around going to work, maybe you say, work isn't, different thoughts come to mind, but work isn't my favorite place to be, but I'm going to be okay. I'm safe. Mm-hmm. Or some other statement, right? It's a true statement. Work is not your favorite place to be, but it doesn't raise the anxiety level and the tension level the way saying that going to work causes me trauma and anxiety. To say, it's not my favorite place to go, and I'll be looking for another place that feeds my spirit a little better. That's true. Right. And that is anxiety provoking. I also talked to her about, because energy goes where energy flows. And so if you're putting all your energy into this, work is horrible. Work is horrible. You're spending the whole weekend thinking about how horrible work is and how you don't want to go to work on Monday. It's horrible, horrible, horrible. Maybe you can think about something about the workplace that you enjoy. It may really be a place you don't want to be, but is everything about it horrible?
Right.
And some of your listeners are like, yep, idiot. Okay. I get it. But is there a favorite person there? Maybe it's 100 people there you don't like, but is mm-hmm. there one person that you're like, they are right. Yeah, mm-hmm. they're cool. It's cool. I don't like to talk to them. I don't tell people at work my business. I don't like, okay, got it. But is there one person that you can share a cup of coffee with, or you can chit chat for 2 or 3 minutes, and you think, that's a cool person. Think about that. Is there a view out of a window that you enjoy, right? At the job, think about that. Like, find like a needle in a haystack. Mm-hmm. Why you need to be there until you're no longer there. What can you find in this place that makes it a little more bearable? And who can you be? So maybe we're not even focused on work. Maybe we get to think about who we get to be in the workplace. In my book, Choose You, there's one person that I interviewed who is someone I went to high school with. And I know Stephanie. Stephanie was always, what teenage girl? A lot of teenage girls are irritable, right? At some point or another. But seemed to me that Stephanie, and I say this, she's heard me tell this story, seemed to me that Stephanie was oftentimes irritable. And we graduated and going off to different places, and we wound up back in the same city. And she was posting on social media every day about something that brought her joy. It was cool, right? Sometimes it was, I thank God for the rain. Sometimes it was, I thank God for chocolate. Sometimes it's, I thank God for these jeans making me feel so good. Whatever it was, it went from the serious to the frivolous to the funny. And I saw this for months. And then one day I thought, I got curious about it. We didn't really talk outside of me liking her posts, really. I said, hey, Steph, let's talk about this. What you got going on here? What are you doing? And the day that we talked was day 89 out of 100 days. We're supposed to talk on a weekend, but I think we wound up speaking on like a Monday night. So she had been on vacation. We wound up speaking the day she had gone back to work. And what she said was, it was interesting, but it absolutely falls in line with what we know to be true in positive psychology. What we know to be true is that gratitude, expressing gratitude, we know this in from a Christian perspective, from religious perspective, we also know it to be true from a psychological perspective, that when we focus on the things that we're grateful for, it changes our mood. But here's the other thing a lot of people don't know. It absolutely changes us on a neurochemical level. Like your brain, your neurons, your neurochemicals start doing different things when you give breath and time to the things you're grateful for. So back to Stephanie, she said that she was going through a really rough time. She had divorced her spouse. She was really bonded with her. She didn't have any biological children, but she was really bonded with her stepdaughter. They were very close. So she divorced. She moved cities. She also left a very good position she had. She left a job that she really enjoyed. And love her mama to death, but or to life. But listen, bringing a grown woman back home to live with her mama, listen, was not the place she wanted to be. And you know, they just, like a lot of us, right? We're used to being, you know, chief of our own, you know, queen of our own castle. Mm-hmm. So now we had two queens in one castle. So it was a little tense. So the point that we're talking, in the previous months, she had divorced her husband, had to move away from the city, which also meant changing jobs. She was underemployed in her new job, and she was missing her daughter, her stepdaughter. Mm-hmm. And she was living with her mother. Right. So right now we got six stressors. She moved back to Cleveland. We're from Cleveland, Ohio. Love Cleveland. But unfortunately, it's more like a place we, you know, you like to move from instead of a place you like to move back to. The reality, you know, that was our reality. That's her reality. So now seven stressors. And so she wasn't feeling that great about life. And her friend challenged her to 100 days of happiness. To identify for 100 days something that she was grateful for, something that made her happy. Now we're talking on day 89. And what was so perfect about the fact that we didn't talk when we planned on talking is that she had gone to work that day. And so we were talking about how this has changed her. It changed her mood. It changed her outlook. But something critical about that day, she'd come back from vacation. And she saw something she'd never seen before, that her presence was missed in a different way. She said, Rachel, people who I would pass in the halls and speak to, because part of this change in herself is that she started opening up and speaking to people. And she didn't care if they didn't speak back. She was in a better space emotionally. People that she would speak to and didn't speak to her recognized that she had been gone on vacation and missed that. So what someone said to her that day is, wow, Stephanie, I missed you. I'm glad you're back. She's like, this person didn't speak. They barely spoke to me in the hallway.
Wow.
The energy she carried with her, her presence, who she was, her mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was taking care of herself, it became contagious. It positively impacted the people around her. Was she worried about them? No, she was taking care of herself.
Right.
But when she took care of herself, it positively impacted her environment. And that's what happens when we're able to shift the way we think about things. And that's what I was attempting to communicate to my client yesterday. You're in your feelings right now. But let me tell you, this thing can shift. And what causes it to shift? Everything brings us back to the power of our mind, how we think, how we assess situations, and the messages, the exact words that we say to ourselves. For example, if you know, we know from the Bible that I am, there is no more powerful statement than I am. When you say I am, you're saying you are those things, right? Right. If I say, you know, I'm a woman, if I say I'm a child of God, I am that, right? If I say I'm a mother, that's who I am. Mm-hmm. But if I say I'm broke, wait, what? Screw it, wait, am I saying that? If I say I'm mad, if I say I'm angry, if I say I'm tired, if I say I'm frustrated, I can start to become those things. So yeah. I don't have to pretend that I'm in a great mood. Like I said yesterday, I was annoyed. Right? I don't have to pretend, but I can speak life to myself. Yeah. Okay. See, I'm just, you know, you got me going in 5 million directions. I get excited about this stuff. But the core of it is how we speak to ourselves and what we think about ourselves and what we think about life and our circumstances and how we view the world impacts us, impacts our health, impacts our, and impacts our work, impacts our productivity, impacts our sleep, it impacts the people around us. These are the ways that we can choose ourselves in a better and healthier way. And this is what God wants for us. Because when we can show up and be fully present, now we can be open for Him. What does that look like, being mad and crazy and cranky and all twisted up and like, oh, I'm here to serve you, Lord? He's like, no.
No, you can keep that.
A lot of things, but I don't want you like that. Get right. And that changes with the way we speak to ourselves and speak about our condition and the way we speak life over ourselves and other people.
I love that you said that, because that is definitely true. You have to find the silver lining. And again, that's what that looks like in real time. Finding the silver lining in things, because there are plenty of things in the world that we're not going to like. Like you said, work or whatever the case may be. But you get to have a place of employment, because a lot of people don't have a job. So that in itself is something that you have to keep saying. If you don't like your job or whatever, I get to go to a place where I can provide for my family, or I can pay my bills. And there are people out here in the streets that are asking people for money, and I get to make my own. God has given me this place of employment so I can continue to be a vessel that He needs and be a good steward over the money and provide a roof and provide food or shelter, whatever it is. So you have to do the turnaround, because if you don't, you'll mess around and go crazy. Mm-hmm. So it's always important to look at the silver lining in things. And it's also important to utilize the people that He's given us, whether they are strangers or they are familiar. So at this time, I want you to tell the people where they can find you, how they can support you. Tell them about your book. And I'll give you your 10 seconds now.
Oh, okay. 10 seconds. So you can find me on LinkedIn and Instagram at Dr. Rachel Speaks. And my book, you can find at Amazon. It's called Choose You. And it's available at Amazon. You'll see it posted on my social media. And I'm sure I'm forgetting something, but that's all I have for now.
I have definitely have your Facebook page linked in the show notes, so they can definitely go on your Facebook page and check everything out that you have going on. And I appreciate you for coming on, Dr. Rachel. I enjoyed this conversation so much.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Okay, you guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. And I want you to remember, as always, you are graced and gifted for a time such as this. You have purpose in this world, and you have been created to do great and amazing things. So until next time, you guys, talk to you later.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and don't forget to leave a review. You can follow Shira on all major platforms and on YouTube at ShiraRenee510. Until next time, spread love, show grace, and shine bright.